Now they are, listen to me, they were created beings. They knew no sin. They were perfectly free from sin, so they were holy creations of God. And yet in the presence of God, they were covering their face in humility, and with the other set of wings, they were covering their feet as a sign of their unworthiness to even be in the Lord's presence. Some of the highest creation that ever had existed. You know, when we go to worship the Lord, we never, I shouldn't say we never, but we seldom ever think about who we are in comparison to who He is. I'm not trying to be mean this morning, I'm trying to be realistic, amen? And so there they were like this. Their activity, part of their activity included this thing of hovering about them. But then they broke into, and Isaiah heard them, they broke into what, and Frank gave us this word here a while back, antiphonal praise. How many of them there were, I have no idea. Don't care. I just know there's more than one. And they're hovering about him, and they're singing in that antiphonal manner, which means that one of them, or two of them, or three of them in chorus together would say, "Holy, holy, holy," and another group of one, two, or three would cry back, "Holy, holy, holy," and another group would answer back, and it was just a round robin as there was praise over and over and over around the words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." Holy. Now, remember that they are created beings. They are free from sin. They have no idea what sin is. Except for the fact that they do not know it by experience. And so they themselves are holy. And yet they understand that real holiness has its source, it comes from, and is part of the person around whom they were worshiping. Amen? Here they are. You know, they are praising Him like this. You know, I'm not talking about us directly, but maybe indirectly. Most Baptists don't know much about worshiping and song. I'm not trying to be ugly again, okay? We just really don't. You know, and Pentecostals think they got a corner on it. And I'm not trying to be mean again. But I'm going to tell you who comes closer to worshiping God in the manner that we're talking about here than anybody else, and their skin is not white. I'm sitting there. I'm going to tell you something. Black folks know a whole lot more about worshiping and praising God with song than you can begin to imagine. They can take the same songs that we sing and bring such life to them as that you almost want to go out and change your race. You know, they just get free when they worship. They don't go wild, but they just get free. I listened to the radio yesterday or day before yesterday, and God gave me that opportunity in preparation for this message that we're preaching this morning. And these folks were singing an old standard Baptist hymn. And I thought, I don't recognize that tune. But then I began to listen to the words. And man, I'm telling you, only like the hymns can do, and I love the hymns, they were praising and recognizing God and what God had done in their lives. Over and over again, they were singing. This is what the angels were doing. I'm not suggesting that we change to do that, but they praised and worshiped the Lord. Look with me at it again. Time is going to get away from me, and I'm not going to get to finish this, but look at this. He said, they sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Now, you remember reading in the scripture Jesus getting on the back of a donkey colt and riding down from the Mount of Olives, making His entry into Jerusalem? You remember that in the scripture? You remember the people were singing? And by the way, the Jews used to sing like what we're talking about here. The hymns or the psalms of ascent were sung in that same fashion. But when Jesus was coming down, you remember what the Pharisees did? The people were singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna to the one who comes in the name of the Lord." You know what they told them to do? Shut those folks up. You hear what they're saying? Shut them up. And Jesus said, in essence, if I silence them, the rocks will cry out. And the angels here had said, the whole earth is full of His glory. All of creation is to praise the Lord. Amen. Well, in response, quickly, in response to their testimony, to their witness, it says, verse 4, the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so this is the voice of one of the angels. And when this happened, the whole house was filled with smoke. And what does the smoke represent? It simply represents the Shekinah glory of God. Here, Isaiah has been invited into a heavenly scene, and he sees worship in his purest form. Well, something happened to him. And every time I worship in this fashion, something similar happens to me. Isaiah suddenly confessed sin. He said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I am a man of unclean lips." And then he added to that, "And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, if you were to go back to the fifth chapter, and time is not mine, and I wish that it were, go back to the fifth chapter of Isaiah, you would find Isaiah doing the work of the prophet, denouncing sin and pronouncing judgment on the people in six different and separate woes. Woe, woe, woe. He was condemning them in judgment as God's prophet. But now when he sees himself and confesses his own sin, he sees their greater problem. It's not the buying of land or the drunkenness or this or that, calling good bad or bad good. Those were not their problem. Their problem was that their lips did not own and confess and worship God. But he confessed his own sin. You know, sometimes when you worship, it's not always fun. Some of you are nodding your heads. But sometimes when you worship, it's not always fun, because always with me, it causes me to have to look inside. And invariably, when I have a high experience of worship with the Lord, there is some area of my being, even though I've been a practicing Christian since way back, there's some area of my being that God points out and causes me to know, you have this imperfection, and this imperfection is a sin. The response of their worship was for the temple to be filled with the glory of God, and Isaiah to take a look at himself like he had probably never taken before. Time being of essence, he has confessed, if you will please, and he's taken this outward look, if you will please. He sees the people and the circumstances that they're actually in, and then something happens to him that he did not expect. The scripture says, "And I heard the voice," not of an angel, and the voice of the angel moved the post of the building and filled the place with smoke. Amen? Not of an angel, but he heard the voice of the Lord. And he heard this angel say, or heard the Lord say, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Now he did not hear that take place until he had confessed his sin and been purged by that sin. Because the Bible says that coals have been placed on his tongue and it burned that sin out of his system, was gone from it. But when he came to that place, he could hear the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send, and who will go for us?" And the amazing thing was, he could hear As he did that, he heard himself say, "Here am I." Send me. May I ask you a question? I'm going to sing a moment. I'm going to sing 198, the hymnal. If I want you, Brother Frankie and Virginia, come on, just be ready for us to do that, if you will, please. And if you were to hear God say to you, "Whom shall I send and who'll go for us?" what would be your response? I'm going to share personal testimony around that tonight in the service. But I want to assure you, when you worship the Lord, you'll hear Him in your spirit speak to you and point things out to you that demand that you deal with those things and respond to His will. Father, we're thankful to You this morning for Your love. We're thankful for a God who desires our worship. And we pray in the name of Jesus that You would teach us and help us and enable us to worship You in spirit and in truth. Help us to realize, Lord, as a congregation of people, that when we worship You in spirit and truth, that's like a magnet drawing lost people to You for salvation. God, help us to be the kind of people before You we ought to be. And we'll give You praise for that. Thank You for Isaiah's vision. And since we have the record of it, we don't have the need for that ourselves. But may it be we learn to enter into the closet of worship and learn to give You worship that's worthy of Your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now I want us to stand together. We're going to sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face. The things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." That's what happened to Isaiah. The crisis didn't matter any longer. He'd been in the presence of the Lord. Sing for Him. Something is said that would
encourage you in the area of worship and yielding your life to the Lord in a total and complete way. Don't forget that we have church on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And if you look around and see somebody that's not here, that would really be something. That's what I was waiting on. I said, anybody going to catch that? If you look around and see those and see who is here so that you know who's not here, it would be a good thing to call today and just tell them that we missed them and would like to see them here tonight. Amen? And then on Tuesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, there's going to be a Bible study here at the church, and Sister Jean's going to share with you something special about Mount Sinai where you're studying. And I'm liable to be here to take part in that this Tuesday, okay? So be mindful of that. And then Wednesday night at 6:30, I'm having a good time in the book of Ephesians. I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time in the book of Ephesians. So remember those things. Amen? All right. Look around, see somebody that you haven't talked to in maybe a while. Maybe you didn't get to shake their hand this morning in the greeting time. And be sure before you leave that you get a hold of that person and give them a word of greeting. Maybe hug their neck or give them a word of encouragement. Amen? All right. Brother Max, do you feel like leading us in prayer before we go? Don't do it if you don't feel like it now. Sir? Sure.